Jane just said, shall I turn it on for you? I know what you're like.
Hey, good morning, everyone. You all okay? Good, good. It's nice to be back. I've been away for a few Sundays, so it's good to be here. Why don't you just tell the person you're sitting next to, it's good to be here, or it's good to see you, or the person behind you, or just around you. This is going to come out, I know it'll come out later on as I'm just, the thoughts I'm going to share this morning, but I love the way that, you know, Mary Jane prayed at the beginning, me and Heidi and her just gathered together, you know, we haven't had any conversation about today, obviously just each individually preparing and just sensing what God's saying. And Heidi, I just want to thank you for the songs that you have led us in today. We can show our appreciation to her, we can do that. But just had a real sense this morning, and obviously some of it is because some of the, you know, obviously we sang the hymn, Crown Him with Many Crowns, and just as we were singing the song, Bless the Lord, O My Soul, just had such a sense that we join with all those that have gone before us. We don't sing in isolation, I want you to know that, and I'm going to sort of touch on this a little bit this morning, but I just have had such a sense, and I found myself almost unable to even sing, but just to stand. And I said, Lord, why am I just standing? Why am I not singing? And just that sense. Sometimes, you know, it's just enough to stand. It's just enough to stand. And just to, and I just had this real picture. I just want to put it out there. I just sense that this morning we're standing under the banner of God. And here's the thing, and it's come out a few times recently. It's okay to tuck under somebody else that's under the banner. I don't know if that makes any sense to anyone here. But sometimes it's just all we can do, just to tuck under somebody else that's under the banner. And maybe just you being here this morning is you doing that. Right? I don't know if that resonates with anyone this morning. But just maybe we just need to just tuck in. Just get under his banner and know the security of one another. Right? But whatever we do, let's stick under his banner. Okay, because his banner's big. It spans the generations. And it will go on spanning the generations. I'm on my conclusion already. God, the same yesterday, today, and forever. His banner is big. His banner. I don't know what banner you're under, but right now, I won't do it. It's all right, because you're all sitting very comfortably, but I almost want to say, do you want to get under his banner? Just come forward and just, I won't, don't worry. But I just get this picture of, come on, let's just be under his banner. I have never felt, I've been in church my whole life, been sort of sat under the teachings of this wonderful book. I have never felt such an urgency to follow Paul's instructions in the book of Timothy when he says you need to pray for kings and rulers. In all my years, nearly 50 now, I have never ever felt the urgency of that scripture like I feel it now. I'm guessing I'm not alone. Anyone wanna? And I want you to know that that isn't coming from a sentimental place. Those of you who know me know I've always, you know, I'm a royalist, I love the Queen, I've always, you know, been a big fan. I want you to know that anything I'm feeling, and you just have to believe me on this one, is not coming from a sentimental place. I know myself enough to know that. It's coming from a much deeper place that I'm just going to call my spirit. And I just feel such an urgency, and I've been carrying that all week, and I'm just saying, God, what are you saying about that? What are you saying for us as your church in this hour? I don't have all the answers, but I'm going to keep asking him. Because I just know that we as his church, it's time for us to awake. It's time for us to stand. It's time for us to rise in a way that we haven't risen before. I want to say this, friends. It's time for us to take seriously God and his word and the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because it's not a story. It's not a fairy tale. It's not a cliche. It's not a religion. It's not a nice little feeling that you get on a Sunday morning. It's serious. It's battle. And I apologize for my inability to articulate well what it is that I sense in my spirit. And every time I get up to speak, my prayer is, Holy Spirit, you've just got to somehow help me, because my words fail to articulate what I sense in my spirit. So Holy Spirit, right now, would you just do something, spirit to spirit? But I'm carrying an urgency to say, church, it's time to rise up. But I don't know what that looks like. If you know, can we have a conversation about it? Yeah? Prayer. Thanks, Norma. You're right, it's prayer. Sorry, my silence is only because I'm... Yeah, it's true. My reflections this week, as I've watched the news and just seen things, these are just some of my reflections. Again, forgive me for my inability to articulate it well, but it's this. It's the longing within humanity for security and for stability and for integrity and for leadership, right? So we are seeing that played out right now, very visibly. The longing within humanity, it's why thousands upon thousands upon thousands are being drawn to London right now, and we're to Edinburgh. Wonderful. Oh God, what a woman that we are honouring, right? But what a king. What a king. So who owns that message, church? Yeah, but I want to say we do. This is our message. Her faith is our message, right? Am I making any sense to anyone? And so as I'm just observing and going, God, what is going on right now? I'm just seeing, I wonder if it's like Jesus when he looked out on Jerusalem and he just went, oh, these people, they're lost like a sheep without a shepherd, right? I wonder, is that what we're witnessing right now? I wonder if we're just witnessing, and I don't even think that people know it. So their response right now is coming from a deep longing in their hearts for an anchor point. It's a deep longing in their hearts for stability, for leadership. And isn't it interesting? See, they're not, people aren't honouring an institution. They're not honouring that, they're honouring a person. But it's what they've seen in that person. Oh, can I just tell you, let's not underestimate what people see in us. You go, I'm nothing, or you might feel like you're nothing, but people observe and they see. And so we carry the presence of God. Do you know, we are a prophetic people because we follow the prophet. So we are a prophetic people. And so I'm just asking the question, and I will continue to ask it over the coming days and weeks. God, what is it that you are saying to your church? What does that mean for us here at Harbour? But what are you saying to your church in this hour for now? Because I just think there is something at play right now that is way bigger than what any of us can begin to comprehend. Just, I can hear some of you just getting it. There's something way bigger. So I believe what we see in the natural is a mirror of what is happening in the spiritual. Yeah, right. So I don't fully get it, but I often find myself drawn to things and I'm going, there's something happening there in the natural. What therefore is happening in the spirit realm? The spirit realm is real. It's more real than the natural. Let that land, okay? It's more real than the natural. And we're so obsessed with the natural. The spirit realm is more real. Where are you spending most of your time? Where do I live most of my life? Yeah. But my spirit is now with Jesus, and so there is this pull. Sarah, calm. Come to the spiritual realm. Come where your home is. And I'm not preaching, I'm just talking. You know that, don't you? My sermon's coming in a minute. So what I want us to do is I want us to pray. Because Paul says to Timothy, can we put that verse up? Is that all right? James, Isaac, whoever's there, Isaac. Can we read this verse together? It's 2 Timothy, 1 Timothy. I don't know what it is. Here it is. Should we read it together? And then we just join in this together. I urge you, first of all, to pray for all people. As you make your requests, plead for God's mercy upon them and give thanks. Pray this way for kings and all others who are in authority, so that we can live in peace and quietness, in godliness and dignity. This is good and pleases God, our Saviour. Here's what I'd like us to do, because I need to stop talking. What I want us to do is I'd like us to stand together. And in our standing, I want us to pray for tomorrow. I've asked Tim to come and lead us in prayer. Is that all right, Tim? Would you come and do that? Because this is what I know, is that the eyes of the world are going to be on what's happening tomorrow. Okay. And so I want us here as the body of Christ, the prophetic people, all right? I'm going to say that again. We are a prophetic people. And I want us in our standing, and I just want us just to take this moment and just pray the presence, the glory of God to fill that abbey tomorrow. That whoever has the responsibility of preaching and leading, oh, may they know the anointing of God like they've never known it before. And may the message of Jesus, may the King be seen tomorrow. Come on, the King. Would you just begin to let faith rise? Let the King be seen tomorrow. That's all that the Queen wanted. She wanted the King to be seen, that the King would be seen, that the King would be seen. Come on, just begin to pray. Let's just begin to pray. Begin to pray right now. I want to tell you, church, if we don't pray, who is? Who is? The responsibility is ours as the church. We have to do it. We can't delegate this. This role cannot be delegated to anybody else but the body of Jesus Christ. Let's do what Paul said to Timothy, and let's pray. Thank you, Tim. Thank you.
Hallelujah. 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 Oh, Father, we just thank you that you are in control, that you know all things, that you know each and every one of us. You know all the people that are going to be at that service tomorrow. You know every person in the crowds. You know every person who has queued up to pay their respects to the Queen. And you know the plans you have. Father, there are so many plans been made for tomorrow, but the one that counts is your plan, Lord. And Father, we pray that tomorrow, as all these dignitaries, somewhere around 500 dignitaries from all across the world, the leaders of the world will be in that place tomorrow. Father, first of all, we pray for your protection over them, Lord, that there will be no terrorist attack, Lord, and for the crowds outside, that they will be safe, Lord. But Father, we pray more than that, that they might come to know you. Lord, this is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity for us to meet with you, for the whole world to meet with you. They say that there are going to be more people watching this service tomorrow than has ever watched a television broadcast before, all across the world, billions of people. Father, would you just guide the people that are speaking tomorrow, Lord. Anoint them with your Holy Spirit, Lord. Let them speak your word, Lord. Let them speak the truth, Lord. Don't let them give us some wishy-washy sermon, Lord, about, oh, I don't know what, that makes no sense at all. But let them speak life, Lord, to the world, Lord. Father, let them speak the gospel, Lord. Let them proclaim Jesus Christ, the risen Lord, King of kings, Lord of lords. Lord, he is our Savior. You are our Savior, Lord. Lord, let your face be seen tomorrow. Let your presence be felt tomorrow, Lord, throughout this kingdom, Lord, but throughout the world, Lord. Let your kingdom come. Your will be done in that place tomorrow, Lord. Father, we pray that your Holy Spirit will move in that place, Lord, that there will be the wind of your Spirit blow through that place, and that it will go throughout the world, Lord. Oh, Father, we pray for revival. Lord, we pray that the people will turn back to you, Lord, away from our sins and our wickedness, Lord. Oh, Father, would you just do a miracle tomorrow, Lord? Father, I just, as we've seen the pictures of the crowds reaching out to King Charles, trying to touch his hand and shake his hand. Father, let them get the revelation. It's not his hand they need to touch, but it's your hand they need to grab a hold of. The King of Kings, not the King of England, but the King of Kings. Oh, let them reach out to you tomorrow, Lord. Lord, I just pray whoever is bringing the sermon, Lord, the word, let it come alive, Lord. Let people understand it, Lord. And Father, the translations that go out across the world, let them be accurate, Lord. Don't let them make things up. Don't let them change it around, Lord. But Lord, you just seal it in people's heart, Lord. Let them know it, what you're saying, Lord. And Father, I pray that people respond tomorrow, Lord. Across the world, let people get a revelation as the word is spoken that you are Almighty God. There is just one God and it's you. And there is only one that brings salvation and it's you, Lord Jesus. We commit ourselves to you, Father. Lord, help us to be salt and light in this land. Help us to continue not to just to pray today for the country, for the leaders, but to commit to praying every day. Lord, that they will follow you, that they will seek you, your wisdom, your guidance, and turn this nation and this world back to you, Lord. Yes. Lord, we just commit this whole event tomorrow into your hands. Your word says, commit whatever you do to the Lord and it will succeed. And Father, we pray for your success, what you see as success in this service tomorrow, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Before we take our seats, sorry, just I almost want to charge us. We can either look at the example of the Queen, which we have done, and rightly so. I honestly stand as one who honours her life. I mean, how can you not, right? But we can either today go, oh, isn't that amazing? And we look afar and we look at a distance and just go, oh, isn't that amazing? Or we can go, God, I'll be that person too. I'll be that person too. And I just wonder, before we take our seats, if we can just quietly just say, God, with your help. Because isn't that what the Queen said? God, with your help. Can't do this on your own. But God, with your help, I'll be that person too. That people will look at me and see integrity. That people will look at me and see strength. That people will look at me and see stability. That people will look at our lives as a church community and go, oh, there's something about those people that offers security, offers peace, offers strength. Right? These are the attributes that people are going, wow. These are the attributes that people are mourning right now. I wonder, come in this moment, just only you can do it yourself. But I want to stand here and say, God, I'll be that person with your help. Despite all my failings, despite all my stuff, God, I with your help, I want to be that person. 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 Yeah, come on. I'm going to be that person in the place where I work, in the place where I live, the street that I'm in. God, I want to be that person. I want to be that person, God. I want to be that person. It's the call. It's the call. This is the prophetic call on our lives that we will be those people. That we will be those people. Let's take our seats, shall we? I don't have many minutes left now. But I would like to just share a few thoughts. I would like to bring a word. Is that all right? But I don't have many minutes, but I'll try and keep you awake if I can. So Exodus 3, let's have a little look at this, because in the week, I mean, you know, the truth is, over the last couple of weeks, my mind has been sort of all over the place in different thoughts and just stuff that I just ponder with Jesus. That's just the way I tick, and thoughts that I have. And I just said to God in the week, God, I've got a number of thoughts, but I don't know sort of how to tie them together, and this passage in Exodus came to my mind, and so I want us to read it, if that's all right. Exodus chapter 3, it's a really well-known story. Let's read it together. You, give me a yes if you found it, either on your phone or in your Bible. Good. I just want you to give me a yes so I know you're awake, okay? Give me a yes. Good. One day, I could get you to repeat every word after me. One day. It's all right, you don't have to. We'll be here forever, won't we? One day, Moses was tending the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, who was the priest of Midian. He led the flock far into the wilderness and came to Sinai, the mountain of God. Okay, can you picture this now? Use your imagination. Here's Moses, and he's got a load of sheep around him, and he's in the wilderness. Got it? There, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a blazing fire from the middle of a bush. Moses stared in amazement. Would you just say that with me? Moses stared in amazement. All right. Though the bush was engulfed in flames, it didn't burn up. This is amazing, Moses said to himself. Why isn't that bush burning up? I must go over and see it. When the Lord saw Moses coming to take a closer look. Would you say those words with me? A closer look. Everyone say it. A closer look. I can hear it's only like 10 of you, so I'm just saying, you know. You can't fool me. I'm calling it out. I'm calling out. Come on. I've lost my place. Where am I? Thank you. Closer look. I'm having a closer look to find the closer look. I can't see it very well. God called to him from the middle of the bush. Moses, Moses. Here I am, Moses replied. I'm pausing because I'm having a little chuckle. My mind goes 10 to the dozen, right? I'm just hilarious. So I'm going, God, isn't that funny that you had to say his name twice? And then I'm thinking, oh, people have to do that with me because I don't listen very well. Sarah, Sarah. I've lost my place again. Here I am, Moses replied. Do not come any closer, the Lord warned. Take off your sandals, for you are standing on holy ground. I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. When Moses heard this, he covered his face because he was afraid to look at God. Then the Lord told him, I have certainly seen the oppression of my people in Egypt. I have heard their cries of distress because of their harsh slave drivers. Yes, I am aware of their suffering, so I have come down to rescue them from the power of the Egyptians and lead them out of Egypt into their own fertile and spacious land. It is a land flowing with milk and honey. And I'm not even going to try and read all of those ites out. I'm just going to leave it. It's where a lot of people live. Look, the cry of the people of Israel has reached me, and I have seen how harshly the Egyptians abuse them. Now go, for I am sending you to Pharaoh. You must lead my people Israel out of Egypt. Can I pause right there? And this wasn't in my notes to say, but the commission that Moses had is our commission too. It has not changed. Would you rescue my people out of slavery into freedom? This is the message of the Bible. It's the message of God. It's the heart of God. You have been called. I'm sending you to bring freedom. But Moses, verse 11, protested to God, who am I to appear before Pharaoh? Who am I to lead the people of Israel out of Egypt? And God answered him, I will be with you. And this is your sign that I am the one who has sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God at this very mountain. But Moses protested, if I go to the people of Israel and tell them, the God of your ancestors has sent me to you, they will ask, what is his name? And then what should I tell them? God replied to Moses, I am who I am. Come on, say that with me. I am who I am. Say this to the people of Israel, I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, say this to the people of Israel, Yahweh, the God of your ancestors, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my eternal name, my name to remember for all generations. This is the word of the Lord. I knew there'd be some Anglicans out there. Seriously, don't you ever just read passages and just want to say that? This is the word of the Lord. Come on. This is not made up stuff. God help me in 10 minutes to bring 3 points out of these verses. God help everyone to be patient with me. Well, I try to do that. I have 3 thoughts that I just want to bring out of these passages, and I really will try and go through them pretty quickly. The first one is this, is the beautiful way that God just reveals himself to Moses. And I want to tell you this, God is longing to reveal himself to you. I love that God enters into dialogue with Moses. But I want to note this, and in a way this is probably a sermon for another time. Each one of these points are just messages in themselves. But this is my little thought. For God to dialogue with Moses, it required Moses to take a closer look. And I just want to encourage us this morning to begin to lean into the things of God. It's time, church. Some of you, and I'm going to put myself in this category, for a long time, you feel a leaning towards things. You sense in your spirit, God saying, I just come and take a closer look, and yet there's a resistance. Isn't it interesting how many times it says, but Moses kind of resisted. He just said to God, really, really, really. It's human nature, right? But here's the key. Moses saw a strange sight. He saw something that it just intrigued him. I wonder what it is that's intriguing you at the minute. See, here's the deal. There's a lot of unhealthy things that intrigue us. A lot. Don't lean into those. Run from them. Run as far as you can. We have an enemy, Mary Jane read it this morning, who wants to steal, kill, and destroy. So I don't know where your curiosity has taken you this morning, but I know enough about human nature to know that our curiosity can lead us into dangerous places. But I want to tell you this, if you will align yourself with God and make a daily choice to say, God, would you open my eyes that I might be curious for the things of heaven? I want to kind of say, can we just awaken ourselves to the things of heaven? Let there be a holy curiosity among us. I want to lean into the conversations in heaven. I want there to be a curiosity about me that just says, I want to know. I want to know. I want to lean in. I want to lean in. This is what Moses was doing here. He was pushing in. He was coming closer to see what God was doing. What God was doing. Matthew 7, Jesus says this, ask and you'll receive. Knock and the door will be opened. Seek and you will find. What's he saying? He's saying, come closer. Come closer. Let there be a holy curiosity about you. So I just want to tease you with that question. What are you curious about? Where's your curiosity taking you? Because right now your curiosity may be just taking you in unhealthy ways. Can we today just go, God, I want to have a holy curiosity towards you. And I want to encourage us, let's lean into that. You might say, but Sarah, I feel a bit weird in that. Well, be weird in it. Maybe we just need to have some weirdness again in church. Well, this bush was a bit weird, right? It wasn't normal. So maybe we just need something that's a bit not normal. I don't even know what I mean by that. Come on. So can we just push in? Can we get a bit curious? And I just reckon that some of you, you've got some curiosity going on and there's fear immediately that comes. Oh, I can't do that. I can't go there. I've been there before. Oh, that's too weird. If I follow that curiosity, where will it take me? Oh, God, can we just throw off some restraint? Can we just dare to throw off some restraint? Can we as a church community just say, can we just awaken some curiosity among us towards the things of the Spirit and the things of God? That's my first point. My second point is this. It's all ours. God reveals himself to Moses. And the second thing God does, and this is just beautiful, God reassures Moses. The first thing he says to him is, I'm the God of your father. And I'm the God of Abraham. And I'm the God of Isaac. I'm the God of Jacob. I, Moses, am the God of the generations. In other words, my friend, you are not on your own. And here's Moses in all of his vulnerability and all of his fear. Let's not forget why he's run away. Let's not forget why he's looking after sheep in the wilderness. Out of all of his fear and all of his insecurity, his inability to speak. I mean, he was one who said, I can't even speak. I don't have the words. Let my brother come along with me because I can't do it, right? And yet here's Moses and God is reassuring him. And I don't know where you're at this morning, but I want you to hear the reassurance of your God who says you're not on your own. What you are facing right now is not an isolated battle for you. You are part of something that spans the generations. Because your God is the God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob. And I don't know any other names that you want to put in there, but your God, you and I are part of a bigger picture. And so often the enemy wants us just to think it's just about us in our own isolated little way, and our world shrinks so small. And I feel the intensity of the battle I'm in, and I just think, oh God, and it all becomes focused on me, and God wants to say to me, Sarah, lift up your eyes, for I'm telling you, I am the God of the generations. I'm the God who was and is to come. And you step into something way greater than yourself, way bigger than yourself. Will you do it, Sarah? Will you do it? Will you take a step into a bigger picture? And that's what God is saying to Moses. Moses isn't just about you. This isn't just about you. There's a bigger picture at play here. And he reassures him beautifully. Oh, I've got too many notes. I'm going to come back to some of this stuff another time. Point number three. God reaffirms to Moses who he is. And it's so simple. I am. Would you just say that with me? I am. You must want to just breathe in. God who is, I am. Come on, just receive that. Receive who he is right now. Do you notice what Moses says prior to God's declaration of who he is? Moses says, who am I? Says it twice. Who am I? So he gets this calling from God, this commission from God, and his response is, who am I? Does that sound familiar? Right now, whatever it is you're facing, and we are facing an awful lot right now as a society. Whatever it is you are feeling the heat on right now, and your response is, who am I, God? Who am I? And maybe you even take it further and go, and who are they? Maybe you look at the people around you and go, who are they? And God goes, oh, I just want to just reaffirm who I am. I am. It's almost as if God, well, it's not almost, he is. What he is doing right now is he is saying, Moses, the question isn't who you are. The question is who I am. It never was about who you were. We're obsessed with that. We're obsessed with it. Who am I? Who am I? Who am I? What am I going to be? What am I going to be? From the minute we're born, look at these young people over here. We're obsessed with it. Who are you? Who are you? Who are you? I want to tell you right now, you'll only know who you are when you know who he is. And the truth is, the more you get to know who he is, who you are doesn't actually even matter. It just fades away. It doesn't matter. It doesn't happen overnight. It's a journey towards I am. But all to be in that place of going, oh, when I'm in relationship with I am, who I am. And can I tell you what happens the more we journey towards I am? That's where our power source is. Everything. Everything. And my questions aren't anymore, who am I? Who am I? Who am I? My question is, who are you? Who are you? Who are you? I want us to live in that place of curiosity where we go, God, who are you? That place where we go, God, there's something happening over here. I want to lean into that. I've always been quite a curious person. Many would call it nosy. And it is, often is nosiness. But I'm going to call it curiousness today. I just said our curiosity can take us into unhelpful places. But I want to say this, as a young girl, I had a curiosity for the things of God. I had the privilege of growing up in a home where we'd regularly have missionaries come and stay and speakers. And as a young girl, I wanted to stay up and hear. I wanted to be part of the conversations. What was going on? I just think there was a curiosity in my heart. I can remember reading books about missionaries and people that were just doing what I perceived to just be, wow, God's just doing something phenomenal through them. What was going on? There was just curiosity in my heart. The danger is, as we get older, we lose that. We lose our curiosity. I just want to encourage us, church. Can we just say, God, can you fan into flame some of my curiosity? That I'll lean in to what you're doing. That I'll have a longing, a desire. Again, I'm going to use that word to tuck myself under something that I see. I can remember in the 90s when there was quite a move of God happening across the world. And if I'm honest, my reaction was like Moses. A lot of it terrified me. And I didn't allow my curiosity to... I was curious, but my curiosity kept me at a door. Didn't allow me to walk in. And over recent years, that's just been something that God's been unpacking for me and helping me with. And even in the last few months, you know how when God does stuff in you, it's just layer upon layer upon layer, right? And I found myself almost returning to that 18-year-old girl. Saying, God, would you just awaken my curiosity again? Forgive me that fear caused me to close the door. Forgive me that cynicism has set in. Forgive me that some things have just clouded. Do you know we become very sensible? Do you know that? God, I just want my senses to be awakened to what you're doing. I just want to become curious about the things of heaven. Anyone else? Yeah. Let's become the clan of the curious. I just made that up. Heidi, come up. I did that. Look, it's 12 o'clock. I just preached in like 10. I know. Thank you. Thank you. I mean, I've still got more notes. I do want to come back to it another time. I do. I could preach next week if you want. I do, because what I really want to talk to you about is the unchanging nature of God. I've got a lot of notes here about it. Sam, you prayed it this morning. That's what you were praying. The unchanging nature of God. I really want to preach on this. So here's my taster, you know, that in all the transition and change that's going on around us, that leaves us feeling very lost at sea. Thou changest not. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Oh, how I need Jesus. Do you? Oh, how I need him. Oh, how I need him. And he looks me in the eye today and says, I'm here. I change not. I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. Even when we are faithless, he is faithful, for he cannot change. This is our God. And I don't know about you, but I need him. I really need him. Do you? Do you? Would you tell him right now where you're sitting? God, I need you. Just tell him, I need you, God. Because I am not. I'm not. Who am I? And he looks you in the eye with more love than you could ever imagine. And he says, be reassured today, I am. For everything you're not, I am. God, my heart is heavy. I know. I am. God, I don't know how to solve this situation over here. I know. I am. God, this feels too much for me right now. I know. Let me. God, I don't understand why. I wish it could be like that. I know. Let me. Let me. Do you hear the reassurance of heaven? Holy Spirit. Would you just breathe on us today? Not just for our sakes, but because you have called us to be a prophetic people. And we feel the weight of that. We feel the responsibility of it. That we would be that army. That we would rise up to be all you have called us to be. We want to live under the banner of I am. The unchanging. Stability. Protection of who you are.